If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Because Paul founded the church at Ephesus, well, actually, he came through on the second missionary journey, stayed there for a brief time, came back on the third missionary journey and stayed 3 years. Ephesus is one of the churches where Paul was at for a long time. He stayed there with those people. We've seen he comes to the city. And there's this huge temple. They use this temple for pagan worship. The whole city's economy is built off this beautiful temple. The silversmiths are making money. There's all sorts of occult books going on. And then God's man and God's woman come into that town, and God saves many of those precious people at Ephesus, those Gentiles. He saves them, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? On the spiritual level, there's demonic force. On the physical level, the silversmiths and the economy are hit. The silversmiths are losing money, and as I've told you, guess who did the silver? Guess who did Paul in? 2 Timothy says, Alexander the copper. All of these guys never forgot that Paul hit him in the pocketbook. You want to make them mad? That's why they give you Christmas, as we said. But if Christmas never gave them anything for their pocketbook, guess what they do for our Christmas? They removed it from us a long time ago. Paul got in there and people got saved, and it said, this man has turned the whole world upside down. No TV, no satellites, no radio, no study Bibles. It was God's power. Went into that city. And that church was a powerful church for the Lord for many years. Finally, Paul decides that he's going to go toward Jerusalem. Now, this was bad for Paul to do. The Lord said in Acts, don't step foot in Jerusalem. He was warned. The prophet Agabus went like this, bound his hands. And said, if you go, you'll be bound. And the Holy Spirit said, do not step foot in Jerusalem. If you read Acts carefully. And that just shows you, the only time Paul was absolutely right is when the Holy Spirit helped him write God's word. After that, he made mistakes. And his mistake was, he shouldn't have gone to Jerusalem. So in Acts chapter 20, starting with verse 17, Paul, on his way to Jerusalem, and by the way, you know what Paul's reputation among the Jewish people was? This guy went and he's preaching this stuff to Gentiles. And he's telling people not to obey the Mosaic law. And all of that was true. Because Paul knew that Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness. But you know, it's hard for people to transition from the old to the new covenant. How long had the new covenant been around, or the old covenant been around? 1,500 years. It's hard to transition over. So he meets the elders at Ephesus in Miletus, which is somewhat on the coast. And here's what he warns them, and this is very important to understand the history of the book of Ephesians. And he invites the elders to Miletus, the elders at Ephesus. Can you name the elders of our church? Name the elders at our church. Who knows who the elders are at our church and can name them? Ralph? Alan? Who? Terry? Who? Ed? Earl? Tom? Oh, I don't know if you could call me an elder. Dave Best, yes. what we have here is two days. The elders get called by Paul. And here's what he says to them. You yourselves know, Acts 20, verse 18. From the first day I set foot in Asia. You know what Asia is today, by the way? It's not China. That's not what the word Asia means there. It's Turkey. Turkey, for the first six centuries, was Christian. And then Islam came in. Guess what it is today? But there are Christians in Turkey. They are persecuted. By the way, do you know what the most persecuted religion is now? But you'd never know that from most of the news that you listen to. Jesus said this would happen. Don't be surprised if the world what? Hate you. They hated me, Jesus said. They will hate you. You don't want to give them a real good reason to hate you. Christians can be sometimes the worst representatives of Jesus. We need to be loving and kind, merciful and compassionate, but they're still going to hate us. So he invites the elders and he says, when I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, 3 years. Paul thinks this is his last will and testament. He somehow spent 3 years at Ephesus, and I think that he had a close connection with, after being with people for 3 years, living with them, fellowshipping with them, that's why he invited especially the elders at Ephesus. He had great hope for them. Serving the Lord, verse 19, with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plot of the Jews. Sorry. Here's a Jewish man telling you who was the greatest enemy of the early church. It's not anti-Semitic, it's just what it was. They were trying to crush Christianity and do it any way they could. And the early church in the first century was persecuted. And it wasn't persecuted by the Arabs at that time. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. That's what a preacher's job is. Except I'm ashamed to be a preacher. You say, Dave, why do you keep saying that? Because if you've seen preachers today, you think there's anything to be proud of with most of these preachers? Have you seen the new Jim Baker and his new wife? The Jim Baker Show. Someone Google that right now on your cell phone. Tammy Faye has been replaced. The Jim Baker, B-A-K-K-E-R, show.com. He's back. He's got a hotel and everything like it was before. Yep. These are the kind of guys that really, you'd have to be ashamed. But it's those kind of guys that bother me. He says this, I taught you house to house, taught you publicly. In other words, what I taught was well known. Solemnly testifying, verse 21, to Jews and Greeks of God wanting you to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous. What does it say? Repentance. When's the last time a church or one of these guys on TV preached repentance? What did Jesus preach in Israel? Repentance. What did John the Baptist preach in Israel? What do evangelicals not preach today? How is the preaching of evangelicals different than Jesus and John? None of them preach that way anymore. Now behold, bound in spirit, and that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 22. In the original, that is not a reference to the Holy Spirit. It's bound in his spirit. Paul was a stubborn guy. He said, how dare you, Pastor Dave, it's St. Paul. Well, guess what? They were all human, except when they inscripturated and wrote the word, and he got stubborn. God kept saying, Paul, don't do it. I can get you to Rome in a better way. Don't, Agabus, you'll be bound. And Paul, oh no, I'm Paul. I can do this. It's bound, he's determined. What bound in spirit means, we couldn't talk him out of it. You ever been around somebody, you can't talk something out of somebody, and you go, okay, good luck. And I'm on my way to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. That's not really accurate. God told him what's going to happen. Agabus, everybody was telling him, don't do it. We all have our shortcomings. Paul was one too. Except the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city that bonds and afflictions await me, but I do not consider my life of an account as dear to myself in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of grace. I think he wanted to go back to Jerusalem and give testimony to Jesus Christ. But you see, no one is indispensable. And Paul had a terrible reputation among his own people for talking about in Galatians. Remember Galatians? They were trying to go back, being Judaized again, going back to that old system. Well, that didn't make the Jewish people happy when Paul would preach like that in synagogue. And they were going to get him. He'd already been stoned, beaten up, pulverized. Just wasn't listening. And he says this, now behold, I know that all of you, among whom, verse 25, I went about preaching the kingdom, will see my face no more. Paul was wrong. Now, the Bible inerrantly records Paul thought this was it. But we know from the end of Acts, and the charges were not capital punishment charges, and we know from the church fathers, did you know Paul made it to Spain? It's not recorded here. I would have loved to know what happened to those churches in Spain. Tarshish. He got there. Established churches. But he thinks at this point, I'm not going to see some of my most favorite people, these Ephesian elders that he must have really had a bond with. And he says, I'm not going to see you anymore. But he did. And it says this. Among whom I went about preaching that I'm not going to see your face. Therefore, I solemnly testify this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you what? The whole purpose of God. Never be mad at a preacher when he preaches the word. Now, I know I'm crazy and I give you conspiracy theories and all sorts of stuff too. But when I'm concentrating on the word, that's a preacher's job. And the reason why most congregations don't want preachers to do that is they get upset with the word. And if a preacher preaches the word, then they get upset because, come on now, 70% of the New Testament is correcting people's behavior. Look at Galatians, you ignorant morons. Look at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you carnal bunch of... Look at... 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, look at the pastorals. I mean, it's a tough job because you have to preach the Word of God. And let's be honest, when the preacher preaches, the preacher's under conviction too if he's studying the normal plain sense of what it says. But that's your job. He preached the whole counsel. And so many preachers today, to keep the congregation numbers up, keep the money flowing, won't touch certain subjects in the New Testament. They're called, you ready for this? Seeker sensitive churches. They're filled with people. And a lot of people like seeker sensitive. Well, don't we have to be sensitive to the sinner? Well, if you love somebody, if you loved your child and your child was doing something that could harm them, would you not want to warn them of the harm? Or would you love them and not mention anything to them? So these seeker-sensitive churches are loaded out the wazoo. And what I suggest, if you want to see this church filled with people, get rid of me. I've been thrown out of a lot of places. And get a preacher who's seeker-sensitive. Well, you'll fill the church. Our budget will go up. Our pews will be filled. And everybody will have a good little old time hearing that. I can't do that. As much as I try to not be negative all the time, 70% of the New Testament is that way. So there are a lot of churches that are huge seeker-sensitive churches now. That's what they are. It's okay. I can't stand before God and say, Lord, I kind of avoided certain parts of your word because I didn't want to offend people. That's all Jesus did. That's all Paul did. They offended people. I'm not wanting to do it on purpose. Look what he tells them. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. So what are elders to do first? Be on guard. Does that mean that they lock and load? No, he's talking spiritually, be on guard. Although, I'll be honest with you, with things that are happening in San Bernardino and stuff like that, I don't know, I don't know, but anyway. Be on guard for yourselves. You know what? Elders need to be on guard for themselves. And for all the flock that God has placed in charge of them. Among whom, who made you an elder? You say, we swore you. You swore us in, Pastor Dave. Alan swore us in. Now look what it says. Among whom which the Holy Spirit has made you. Hey, guess who made you an overseer? You bet. God just guided us. You have a commission from God. If you're in charge, if you don't like it, run. Because it says that elder overseers will receive the greater judgment. It's not the average person in the congregation, if there is even such a thing. You know who gets the biggest whoop up? It's the elder overseer teacher, James 3:1. Do not many of you become teachers. That's talking to elder overseer. It's not the precious people in the pew that's being scolded about the tongue in James 3. Do you know what elders overseers are supposed to be? Apt to teach. That means this, that they better watch their tongue. By the way, I'm preaching at me, not at you. Although I'm crazy. Be on guard. The Holy Spirit appointed you. Elders, do you know that you may have had some man ask you, but behind it, it was God. There's a divine commission. You know, they think about a pastor's calling. Hey, there's an elder's calling. There's no such thing as pastor, overseer, elder, and separate, three separate groups. It's all referring to one group. The only difference between me, the Bible says, and another elder is, I do this full time. The other guys have had another job. Some of them are retired. Some of them are still active. That's the only difference. Be on guard to shepherd the church of God. Okay, that's you all. And guess why we have to be on guard? It says, because he purchased that sheep with his what? That means that you're valuable in God's sight. And that's why elder overseers have to be very careful how we treat you. I've been in this church long enough. It's 14 years now. You people have lousy taste in pastors. They would have thrown me out of here long ago if you had good taste. 2002, July 1st, 2002. Where were you? Boy, things have changed. Things have changed. Is anybody here from that time? Alan, okay, a few. Most of you, though, are after that time. See what happens? Everybody leaves when I come. He purchased with his own blood. Therefore, elders need to know that the people are valuable. By the way, you know what Jesus said? You are much more valuable than sparrows. I said that to a former elder. Whoa, people aren't valuable. Yes, they are, God says. Oh, we're worms. No, you're valuable. What, does God die for something that is not worth anything. He sees mankind as having that much more than sparrows, God said. I know that after my departure, savage what? So who you elders are to be in guard against? You know what wolves are? They're in sheep's clothing. That means they come in looking good, but they're going to harm our people. I'll be honest with you, there are sometimes we get people where I deliberately, if you wonder why I'm taking off on a certain subject all of a sudden, because I suspect that we may be dealing with someone that may be harmful to our precious little group of loving people. And Dave will immediately, his radar goes on. Sorry, but I have to guard the flock. You're all precious. You're gentle and kind. Everybody here in the group, that's hard to find. It was very rare in the churches I've had. There was always some type of, let's go confront this and that. But we have to be on guard, to guard the flock. Savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. So therefore, we must be watchful and we must be what? Paranoid. But look at verse 30. And from among your own selves, forget the outside. You know what destroyed the church in the history of the church up until now? You know what has always destroyed the church? The commies couldn't destroy the church in Russia. I had those precious Russian kids. I've had kids that have come in my classes who never knew their father because their father was out in the Russian woods hiding from KGB. I have students from China, who are under threat. Korea, under threat. You name it, we get the kids. And you look at that and you go, American Christianity, we should be ashamed of ourselves the way some of those precious people have suffered for their faith. And you know what, in Russia, it wasn't the communists that could do them in. As long as the communists were in charge, do you know that the Russian people stayed firm? Now, though, the communists have changed hands. I don't know, they're still there, but I don't know what you can say. They're still there. All of that money was transferred to some of these big oligarchs, guys. But anyway, the Russian church stayed strong. Now, guess what? Now that all of the cults from the West have come in, guess who's weakening Russian Christianity? From within. That's what it is. And because of that, Putin has thrown some Christian groups out. Well, I think it's right because the danger is always from within. The Chinese monitor our kids that come from there. They have to be real careful. As a matter of fact, the one kid told me in China they have the Chinese secret police come into their services. I said to him, how do you know they're Chinese secret police? He says, well, they fall asleep in the service. So, if anybody falls asleep on Pastor Dave, we will consider you spies. Okay. Be on the alert. Remember that night and day, verse 31, for a period of 3 years, I didn't cease to what? Warn. I don't know, preachers, it's good to encourage people, but you also have to warn. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. All right? What did He commend them to? And to what? He didn't say books of preachers. He didn't say study Bibles. He commended them to what? And to what? The power of God's Spirit. That's what you want in a church. And any preacher that's preaching needs to be willing to be challenged. You're welcome to say, hey, Pastor Dave, you idiot. I don't agree with you there. Well, if I preach something and I can't prove it, I have no right to be preaching it. That doesn't bother me. If you think if you're bad, you ought to come to seminary and watch some of the kids go after the professors on stuff. Frankly, I've learned to really enjoy it myself. So please feel free to stand up and say, preacher, what about this? And then I need to answer it. That's good. Well, yeah, that's what I don't like about sermons. Right now, it's a one-way communication. You're all thinking things. He's crazy. And you can't say, that's why I was glad John Jr. said something. Because what is it? Who makes these rules that everybody in the congregation has to sit down, shut up, and let that idiot talk? Tell me. Challenge! If you have a question. And don't have to raise your hand. Do like Mark does. Just rush the pulpit. I commend you to the Word of God and to His grace, which is able to build you up. Guess what? It's God and the Word that will build you up. Not some of this hogwash that's proclaimed from pulpits today. And look what he says in verse 33. I coveted no one's silver, gold, or clothes. How many preachers could say that today? You heard about the TV evangelist needs money, took all the widows and orphans, last 25 bucks. I happen to know about how little they give Social Security to everybody, precious widows. All they'd have to do is trade in some of those massive frying things at the airport you go through that the government buys. It could provide Social Security for all the precious widows, wouldn't have to worry. But Paul says he didn't covet anybody's money. I don't think there are many preachers that could say that today. That's what makes me ashamed as a preacher. Paul wanted to make sure he was not greedy for it. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. By the way, in those days, preachers weren't full-time usually. Although Paul said it's okay for a preacher to earn his living by the church. They did tent-making trade. Guess what Paul did to support himself? He made tents. That was a schlep job. I'm telling you, he was ceremonially, according to the Old Testament, unclean, dealing with dead animals, doing the hot. Have you ever seen them on TV? I saw some show where they were showing how they process leather like that in the old way. Awful. That's what he did to earn his living, to spread. During the day, tent making. Jesus was a carpenter. All Jewish dads taught their kids a vocation. So wherever they went, they'd know what they could earn a living. So Paul's saying, I earned my own way to preach to you the gospel. In everything I showed you by working hard in this manner that you must help the weak. That's a Christian's job. Jesus wanting us to be merciful to people. I've been around these fundamentalist groups that they think weak people need to be rebuked and they need to be, I don't know, we need to help weak people. Help the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus as he said, it is more blessed to give than what? And by the way, that's not in the Gospels. That's one saying of Jesus that's in Acts that Jesus said but never made it into the Gospels. What color is it in your Bible? That's unfortunate. Let me talk about real quick why it's wrong to have red and black lettering. You think that somehow because it's in red, it's more inspired? It's the same authority. So be careful with these red versions. In the original, they wrote in all capital letters, all together, no spaces, and there were no red and black. It was all black. And all the word in the New Testament is fully inspired, not just some things or some things being more inspired than another. They're all equal. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with all of them, and they began to... I know most churches will weep until the preacher leaves. Anyway. And embraced Paul and repeatedly what? Kissed him. And off he went to Jerusalem. And they were grieved, especially over the word which he had spoken, verse 38, that they would see his face no more. They did see his face. Unfortunately, when Paul gets to Rome, James says to him, and we won't go there, you know, Paul, you've upset a lot of Jewish people. What you ought to do is go to the temple and offer, do this vow with three of these Jewish guys and offer a sacrifice, and it'll make you look good. So Paul followed James' bad advice. He gets to the temple. They shave their heads. They do this, but the Jewish people around the temple think that Paul had brought in three Gentiles to the temple. By the way, if you were at a Jewish temple, guess who wouldn't get in? You. Why? You're not Jewish. But guess what? In the new temple, you are the temple, and guess what? He's made us all one. But in those, so guess what? He brings it. And they have a riot. They said, Paul brought a bunch of Gentiles into the temple. They arrest him. And he's in jail for 4 years. Now that doesn't mean he was in what he eventually became known as the Mamertine prison. You know, when Paul is arrested the second time, he's released at Acts, he's arrested a second time, and they put him in the Mamertine prison. And that's a pit in the ground. And in those days, today, we give people in prison, and we need to be merciful on them, but we give them books so they can sue the government and make a suit. You know, I love America. Anyway, in those days, if your family or your friends didn't bring you food and water in jail, guess what? You starved. You died. They had no such thing like we have today, three square meals. And by the way, in Boston or in Massachusetts, they have fine facilities. So if you're going to commit a crime, go to Boston. Joking. But Paul is released. But here's what happens. You know the pastorals? That's written after Paul was released. He goes to Spain and then he comes back and he starts re-meeting all of those people at Ephesus. And guess what they do in 2 Timothy? He is arrested at Troas. And then they put him in the Mamertine prison. Do you know what the charge against Paul was? He had burned Rome and spoken against the emperor. See, Nero, oh, you ought to read about Nero. Nero wanted to remodel Rome, and he knew Christians were always teaching about how the world would end in flames of fire, and the world would, 2 Peter, the world would be remade. So Nero says, I got a great idea. Let's blame some of those Christians. They tried to burn down Rome and bring in their new world. So you know what happened to Paul and Peter? 67 AD. They took his head off, both of them. Peter they crucified upside down. And now the church in Asia Minor was without any real help. Guess who came in to help with the churches that the late Paul had to leave due to his martyrdom? Guess who comes in? John the Apostle. So that's why 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, they're actually books really to Ephesus. And that leaves one last thing. John was there till he was 100 years old. helping Paul's churches. And he writes all 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And there's a Diotrephes. You ever read 3rd John about Diotrephes, who tries to be the boss at the church? I've met him. We've had elders who are Diotrephes. I've been in churches with Diotrephes. But you know what's sad? Next week, well, 2 weeks, we'll talk about the last word of Ephesus. And do you know what it says, the last word about the church at Ephesus? They lost their first love. What does that mean? We'll talk about it.